Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. It's track season. That's not as fun as cross country season, in my opinion, but it's good enough for my opening sermon illustration. Have you ever seen a great 100 meter sprinter? They get out quick off the blocks, and they get out in front, and they never look back. Then at the very end, they lean forward to get that last little second. Their eyes are always on the finish line, straining to try to get there as fast as humanly possible. If a sprinter would turn around to see how far ahead they are of the people behind them, the runner beside them just might beat them if the race is close. Even in long-distance races, it's a much better idea to chase the guy or the girl or the cart, if it's cross-country, in front of you, rather than looking behind you, hoping that seeing how much you can relax while the people are trying to catch up with you. Runners know to keep their eyes forward and give it their best in order to have the great race that they want. And God tells us to have the same attitude when it comes to our walk of faith. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, God says in Isaiah. Paul says in Philippians, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Every one of us could look back at our lives, our choices, our mistakes, and feel guilty about it. We all could do that. We could feel guilty. We could feel trapped. We could feel embarrassed. But the good news, actually the great news, is that God gives us something through faith in Jesus Christ that we can move forward out of our past and embrace a new future that he has obtained for us by dying on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for us, it opened up a brand new future. Jesus died for our sins and was raised so that we would be made right with God from that point onward. And nothing ever can snatch us out of God's hands. The Bible says that the devil came to steal and lie and destroy. And one of his best weapons to do that is to make us look backward and focus on our past and on the guilt that we all are going to feel from back then. God says instead to fix our eyes on him, on Jesus, who authored and perfected our faith. When we read the famous passage in Matthew 6 about not worrying about the future, a lot of people know this, like, do not worry. Think about the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. It says, worrying can't add even an hour to your life. Now think about that. That's the future that, assuming it could actually be changed, just think about how even less fruitless worrying about the past would be. I mean, worrying about the past, it's already done. It can't be changed. So leave it alone and focus on where God is taking you next. We have a new puppy. You might have seen him or heard about him. But every morning I take him out and he goes to the bathroom. He goes number one first, which is perhaps why they call it number one. I hadn't thought about that till I wrote this sermon. And then he goes number two. Now, for those who don't remember what number two is, that's poop, okay? When he poops, though, he always wants to go back and mess around with it. I hate it. He wants to smell it, and if you're not careful, if you don't hold his leash, he'll eat the thing. He'll eat it. It's disgusting. So don't be like that with all your you-know-what in the past. Don't go messing around with it. Don't go look. It's not going to get any better smelling or looking by going and looking in the past. It's bad. Stay away from that stuff. It's not only disgusting to keep going back to it in your life, but it can become really unhealthy spiritually for you as well. So what is it that we look back at other than our guilt? Well, sometimes we look back at our circumstances, and all the bad things that happened to us that were out of our control. We let bad things that happened to us define our future. We blame our parents for whatever it is that they messed up our lives with. We all know that they probably did something we didn't like, and if you're a parent, you know you're probably messing up your kids in some way. They can tell a counselor in the future. We blame our failures and let them define us as well. But God has a very different perspective on our life than we do. Here's what St. Paul says about how God uses difficult circumstances, even unfair circumstances, to mold us into the new people that he is creating. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. If you show me anyone who has excelled in a sport or in a job or really in any part of their life, I will show you someone who has had to overcome challenges. When Thomas Edison was asked about his many failures when inventing the light bulb, he responded with a famous quote. He said, I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed even once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that have not worked, I will find the way that will work. But the key as a Christian is to realize that it's not our self-reliance, our strong work ethic, that is going to bring all of these changes about. Even in the messiest part of our lives, God is alive and active. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God can redeem any situation and create something new out of it. Forget the former things, he says. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? We need to pay attention. We need to perceive it, to see it. How God has brought you to the place where you are right now. He says that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. He doesn't change your past. It's still there, but he overcomes it through the blood of the cross. That's why admitting that you need Jesus, admitting that you're a sinner, leads to a new future, because you can see that you need that forgiveness that he's willing to give you. It's more than just positive thinking. It's about the difference between death and life. In the book of Colossians, St. Paul says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's saying this before they're dead, understand? He said, but they've died. Something has changed. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. The Christian walk of faith is often spoken about as death and life, baptism especially. God says that when we receive the promise of his love and commit our lives to following him, we are changed forever. We die to our old selves. We're raised with him to live a new life. And Romans 6 explains this a little bit more. He says, when we are baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So earlier this morning, the contemporary service, they witnessed the new beginnings and the deaths. The deaths and new beginnings of four people. Now that might not be a very heartwarming, way of thinking about it, I guess, but it's still true all the same. Kaylin, Miley, Everett, Emberlyn, they were all changed this morning. They can start living a new way as children of God and inheritors of eternal life. Now, do they still have histories, backstories? Of course they do. Do they still have struggles and problems in their life? Yeah. But that history doesn't define them any longer in God's eyes. They can live a new way because God has promised them that nothing in all creation, nothing has ever happened that gets to decide their future. He decides their future now. Nothing they've ever done can stop God from loving them and seeking to redeem them. Now, they might not look any different to you. They might not even feel any different. But God's promise has given them a new future that is opened up and will never close. For all those who have been baptized, we can live like each day is a new day and can leave the past behind us. So at the end of this message, I want to share with you a story that you've probably heard a few times. I know I have heard this a lot of times. But it goes so well with today's message, I wanted to share it with you one more time. And who knows, maybe you've never heard it. It reminds us that our final reason for not looking back is because we have so much to look forward to. A woman was diagnosed with a terminal illness and given 3 months to live. She asked her preacher to come to her house to discuss her funeral. She told him which songs she wanted sung at the service, which scriptures to read, and what dress she wanted to be buried in. She also requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. And as he prepared to leave, she suddenly remembered one more thing. "I have one more request," she said excitedly. "What's that?" the preacher asked. "This is very important," she continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The preacher looked at her, not knowing quite what to say. "That surprises you," she asked. "To be honest, I'm puzzled," he said. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church fellowships and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part because I knew that meant something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, something wonderful. So I want people to see that fork in the casket, my hand with the fork in my hand. And when they ask you, 'What's with the fork?' then I want you to tell them, 'She believed the best was yet to come.' Forget the former things," God says. "Don't dwell on the past. God has a much better future in store for you, both while you live on this earth and especially after this life is over. Amen."